In today's gospel, Christ restores sight to the man born blind. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent." So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And it was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Some years ago now on Broadway, there was a show entitled Black Comedy. When the show began, the curtain opened, the whole stage was in darkness. Couldn't see a thing. The audience couldn't see a thing. But you could hear people talking and chattering, music in the background, the sound of cutlery. It was obviously a gathering, having a party. All of a sudden, the lights on the stage flash on. And everybody on the stage looks surprised. And somebody says, "Uh-oh, we must have blown a fuse." You see, by this device, it makes it clear to the audience that every time you see the stage, people on the stage, they're really in darkness. And the whole premise of the show is that you see these people, you can see them, they think they're in darkness, bumping into each other, having conversations with somebody that they think is another person entirely, saying things to one person they would never say to that person if they knew that that was the person they were talking to, and so forth. Very interesting, amusing show. But there's nothing amusing about living in the dark. You know, probably you and I, one of the worst things that could ever happen to us would be to lose our eyesight. But there's other ways of living in the dark than simply not being able to see physically. Now, we have those terms, don't we? She's walking in the dark. Or somewhere on the other side, he finally has seen the light. They're not talking about physical seeing. They're talking about understanding, comprehension, what we might call spiritual sight, seeing clearly, understanding. And that's what the gospel today really is all about. You know, Jesus does heal physically this man, gives him his sight back. But his whole purpose in doing that is not just to give him his physical sight back, as important and good as that was. He was concerned about this man's spiritual sight. Could he see the way God sees things? You know, it's interesting. When you look at the original version of the gospel in the original language, the word that's used for the putting of the salve on the clay on the man's eyes, that word in Greek is that he Christos'd him. The word for anoint is Christos in Greek. That's why we call Christ the Anointed One. The Messiah in Hebrew, the Anointed One in Greek becomes Christos. And Christ Christos's this guy's eyes, that he can see. And you notice the man does. First of all, he has physical sight, yes, but then remember when he's questioned, he goes from this man healed me to this man is a prophet to I believe, Lord, and he worships him. He sees spiritually. And that's what I think the question is for you and me today. Do we have spiritual sight? Do we see things the way God sees them? Or are we spiritually blind? Let me suggest a couple of little examples about what spiritual blindness could look like. Maybe this applies to us, maybe it doesn't, but first of all is this. You might be spiritually blind if you judge yourself and look at yourself only in view of your failings and your sins. If all you can see when you see yourself is your failings and your sins, you probably are spiritually blind. Because that's not the way God sees you. God does see your failings and your sins and mine. And he wants us to repent from them. But he sees much more than our sins and our failings. When God looks at us, he sees the unique, beautiful, special, never-to-be-repeated person in the whole history of the world. He wants us to understand ourselves that way. When we fail, we turn to him for mercy and compassion. He doesn't want us to stay there, mired in our failings and in our sinfulness. He wants us to become what we can be. I mean, think about someone like St. Peter. St. Peter denied Christ. St. Paul persecuted the church. St. Augustine lived a totally immoral life before he was converted. Do we remember those people because of their failures? We don't ignore their failures, but we see them as much more than that. That's the way we have to see ourselves. You see, if we constantly are beating ourselves up, judging ourselves, feeling awful about ourselves because of our sins, our failures, we're probably spiritually blind to who we are and can be. Secondly, we could be spiritually blind if we put our values in the wrong place. If we judge as more important than we should something that's not so important. For example, you know, I would like to have somebody bring into me right now, right down the center aisle in the church, a check, a cashier's check, for all the money that is spent in this country in a year on beauty products. I'd like to see that check. That check would pay off the debt of a third world nation. We are so concerned in our society about beauty, about the way we look. Now, you men probably turning me off right now. You're saying to yourselves, that's not a man's problem. Men don't worry about that. No. No, of course not. Of course we don't. You know, this is interesting. You know that half of the facelifts in this country today performed by plastic surgeons are performed on men? Half the facelifts in the country are performed on men today. But we're not concerned about those sorts of things, you know, no. But just think about that. You know, how concerned we are with our physical appearance. Not that that's not important up to a point. But how much value do we place on that? By the way, just as an aside, for both men and women who wonder about this, you know, did you ever watch any of those beauty pageants and the young women come out and they smile and their teeth are, they're shiny, you know, beautiful teeth? You know how they do that? Petroleum jelly. It's true. Petroleum jelly on your teeth before you go out on the stage and you smile, and that's why your teeth are all shiny. Of course, it tastes awful, but anything for the sake of beauty, right? Interesting. A study was done, and this is kind of sad, but it's the reality of where we live in our society. A study was done some years ago by a researcher from Cornell University named Joyce Brumberg. She decided she wanted to study the diaries of young women for the last 100 years. So she went to museums and libraries and collected a whole bunch of diaries from 100 years ago right down to the present. And she studied them. This is what she found. Up until about 50 or 60 years ago, when you read the diary of a young woman, this is what you most likely would find in the diary. Dear diary, I need to be more helpful to my parents. Dear diary, I have to be a better friend to Julia. Dear diary, I have to work harder at school. Those kinds of things. But then she said about, you know, 25, 30 years ago, more and more you'd find these kinds of entries. Until today, it's the most frequent entry you find in a young girl's diary. Dear diary, I have to get a new hairdo. Dear diary, I need some new clothes. Dear diary, I have to lose weight. You see what's happened? 60, 70 years ago, a young woman looked at herself and she judged herself by the good things she did. If she was doing good things, she felt good about herself. Today, more and more young women judge themselves by the way they look. The way they look. How sad. The spiritual blindness there. You see, we're much more than the way we look. In fact, the way we look is a secondary thing. What's in our hearts? How much of a difference do we make in people's lives? How many people are better off because we're in their lives? We bring them goodness and joy and mercy and assistance. We can be spiritually blind easily in that whole area. One final example. We can be spiritually blind if we get so wrapped up in our own concerns and in our own issues and our own needs and desires that we can't see anybody else's. Life becomes all about us. We can't see anybody else in their concerns or what we should do for them. A couple of months ago, a woman told me this story. I found it very interesting. She was going through a car wash. It was one of those days, you know, when we had a nice day before we had the snow and all that. And she hadn't washed her car all winter, so she went to the car wash, and she's lined up in line there to go through. And she's looking around, and in back of one of the buildings near the car wash, there's a whole bunch of dumpsters. And she sees this man rummaging through the dumpsters. And she thinks to herself, now, here I am going through the car wash, spending $15, whatever it was. I wonder if that poor guy got nothing to eat. So anyway, she goes through the car wash, but she's worried about this man, so she goes looking for him. She finds him in back of another building, going through some other dumpsters. So she pulls up to him, rolls down the window, and she's surprised. He's clean shaven. His hair looks clean. His clothes aren't terribly dirty. But she says to him, excuse me, sir, are you hungry? Do you need something to eat? The man looked at her and said, No. But thank you for thinking of me. And what was he doing going through the dumpster? But he was moved by the fact that she was thinking of him. See, that's the point. We can be spiritually blind when we see people and we're so overwhelmed by all of our stuff, we can't see anybody else. So as we gather here today, let's ask the Lord to help us to see with Christ-ened eyes, to see the way God sees things, to see the world through God's eyes. I mean, after all, why would we want to see everything only through our eyes when we could see things the way God sees them? May God bless you.